So Schmidt's assessment of this is that it was the basic desire to worship together that compelled large numbers of humans to work as one. And this is what led to a settled life, a communal lifestyle, where people grew their own crops and raised their own animals. And as I said, this has turned upside down the long-standing theory that first people lived together, and then they built monumental architecture, and then they worshiped together. Now, this is all very, very new. As I said, his excavations began about 10 years ago. So scholars are still assessing this. And some scholars actually are questioning the date of the buildings, claiming that they couldn't be as early as he suggests. But nevertheless, these people are living at a time before the Neolithic Revolution. So it still argues the fact that long before they were living in settled communities, people were coming together to build these temples and to worship. Now, the nature of the worship is quite unclear, but there are some clues. Now, of course, this is millennia before the art of writing was developed. So we actually have no idea what these people thought. They didn't, at least we don't have it in their own words. But we do have a sense of what might have been part of the mindset that created these temples. Now, within the four temples that were excavated, there were some 50 T-shaped pillars that I mentioned. And again, some of them are standing in the center of the circles, and some are forming a wall surrounding the center of the circles. And all of them are about 17 to 18 feet in height. Now, some are carved, and some of these have abstract symbols, which is a little bit intriguing because it's almost as though they might be have some sort of symbolic language that we still cannot read. Others show realistic renderings of animals, and these are carved onto these pillars. Now, these animals are very recognizable. They're animals that would have existed in that time, that in fact exist still today. Animals that most likely would have been hunted by these hunter-gatherers who created these temples. They take the form of wild boar, cattle, foxes, leopards, water birds. And they also take the form of more threatening animals like snakes and scorpions and spiders. And there are also these strange fanged monsters that can't be identified in the real world. One of these pillars depicts a vulture looming over a headless body. And a few of the pillars seem to have a schematic human form, where they have the kind of head of the T is sort of in the place of the head of a human, and there are long arms reaching down the sides of the pillars and ending in fingers. Now, because there are sort of humanistic elements to this, Schmidt has interpreted these temples as perhaps a cult spot for the dead, where the carved pillars perhaps protected the deceased ancestors. Now, we know that in later Neolithic societies, and I'll talk about that in a minute, the worship of ancestors was very, very important. And so Schmidt's assessment may well be correct. He's even said that perhaps groups of people were actually buried under the floors of these temples. Now, he has not yet excavated deeply under the temples, and so this is still theoretical. And in fact, although lots and lots of animal bones have been found at this site, almost no human bones have been found at this site. So scholars are a bit skeptical about his assessment, but he is still excavating. He is still investigating, and we may well find very shortly whether his theory is correct or not. But right now, he thinks that the temples seem to have served an ancestor cult, where groups of people from hundreds of miles around came here to worship their dead. Now, the first of these circular temples was perhaps constructed as early as 11,000 BC, so that's right after the last ice age. But certainly by 8,000 BC, all of the temples have gone out of use. Now, this is really fascinating because they all seem to have been intentionally buried under mounds of earth. So for some reason, and again, it's maddening, but we have no idea why, the people who made these temples intentionally destroyed these temples, burying them deeply under the earth. And this all occurred about 8,000 BC. Now, granted, shortly before that, or let's say several centuries before that, the temples seem to have gotten smaller. The newer temples that were constructed seem to have been made a bit smaller. So, in general, it seems as though near the end, these temples became less important. But for some reason, they were ritually buried as if to seal them off from the world. And it may be no coincidence that around the same time, that is about 8,000 BC, in this part of Anatolia, humans began to actually settle in villages where local collective worship was possible within their own communities. So by 8,000 BC, people have domesticated animals, domesticated plants, and began living in towns. But I want to stress that this is after the construction of these massive temples. Now, Schmidt and others have pointed out that perhaps with this new communal identity, a kind of supra-regional type of worship where various tribes were coming together was no longer necessary. You could worship in a community within your own town. But again, this new lifestyle was part of this transition that I mentioned already, called the Neolithic Revolution, this new Stone Age, which is what Neolithic means, where humans abandoned their nomadic existence and settled in permanent communities, raising crops and animals to assure their own food supply. But as I say, now we know that perhaps a precursor to that was the desire to commune together in a religious style.